Welcome to Pretty Lies and Alibis. Join us as we seek the truth and travel the long road to justice. Happy Friday, Alibiers. Gigi here with another episode of Pretty Lies and Alibis with Fruit Loop. What you know?
Did you know that the coast of France has had Garfield phones washing ashore since the 1980s?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so they finally figured out that there was a ship or something that had, in a storm, had wrecked or whatever, and they found it in some kind of cave or something. So all these phones just keep washing up on shore. I had one. So
I did too. What,
yeah. Yeah. So they keep washing up on shore.
You know, there's some place out in the desert somewhere that has all of the Atari ET games because it was so bad that, like, even back in the 80s, they were like, this sucks. We're just going to put them in a landfill.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah. So we stopped yesterday talking about Julie Rowe's security team and Julie alleging that Chad was inappropriate to her. And today what we're going to do is we're kind of getting into the real timeline. Today we're going to cover kind of at the point to where Chad and Lori are getting more active up till Charles tries to fly home thinking it's going to be a normal evening only to find out, you know, it's all broken loose. So why don't you start December 28th, Fruit Loop?
Okay, so December 28th, 2018... there are searches for Charles Vallow on Chad's Google account. The end of December through January, Lori has lunch with Gibb and Zulema and tells them Charles has become a zombie. Julie Rowe also says sometime in late December, Chad told her Tammy would die soon. So you start to see this whole thing coming into motion.
Really quickly, too, because they met September, October. You know, it's really, I think it was October. Or was it September, October? I can't remember right now. But by December, you've already got him looking up this, you know, Ned Schneider, whatever, zombie thing. And then Tammy's going to die soon. It's like him and Lori quickly, I think, realized we've got to be together no matter what.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's an iCloud update and there's random things that have no date. So we're just going to go through these. So Alex was listed in her contacts as Al 2. Melanise was Lelani Lee. It sounds like some kind of Charlie's Angels name.
Lelani, I think.
Lelani, something.
Yeah.
We always mess it up. So on Lori's phone and listed as Miriam on Alex's phone. Melanie, too, seems to be an alias for Chad. A contact listed as Bishop seems to be one of Chad's daughters. Dude, I would hate to be the police having to figure all this stuff out.
Look, I would hate to be the person having all these names in my phone, trying to figure out who's this, who's that. I would get so confused.
Who am I calling? Who am I texting? Yeah. You know there was some wrong text sent. Had to be.
Oh, yeah. I do it all the time.
Yeah. So there were messages about Charles and Tylee arguing, but nothing major. Lori also said Tylee was being difficult for her, too. Lori had frequent contact with her sister Summer, who was listed as some. It seems Summer may have shared some of Lori's religious beliefs. There were countless messages about spiritual experiences and Lori and Chad's ability to communicate with others on the other side of the veil while at the temple. Lori says she can communicate with those on the other side while sitting in the celestial room. They talk about light and dark spirits in the text with a numeric score and dark spirits with different names taking over bodies. Melanise and Alex would regularly text Lori and ask her to get rid of a dark spirit or inquire if someone was possessed by a dark spirit. And they weren't the only ones.
Like, no. Remember,
Zulema did the same thing.
Yeah, about her daughter, about her family in Chile. It just, yeah. It's,
yeah.
So Chad emails Lori a list of their 7 missions to accomplish together. And, you know, guys, this is back in December. So this stuff went, like, fast and furious, like 0 to 60.
Well, it makes me think that this was going on earlier than that.
Either that, or, you know, maybe it's possible that Chad had all this framework sort of dreamed up, and then you find the people that believe it, and then you're like, here we go.
Yeah.
You know, chicken or the egg, what came first?
Yeah.
So he said they had seven missions to accomplish together. Number one, translate ancient records. Write the book about the translation process. Number three, identify locations in Northeast Arizona for white camps. Number four, presidency of the Church of Firstborn. Number five, help establish the food distribution as the tribulation start and the delegate. Number six, ordain individuals to translation as the camps begin. And number seven, provide supplies to righteous members of families. So so that's their missions. And so January, we're kind of getting into January here. This is when it all breaks loose. But at some point, and it's not, I've never seen a specific date, a neighbor of Alex's told the Daily Mail in 2020 that sometime in January 2019, Lori and Alex were outside arguing really loud. And neighbors told the Daily Mail they were close to calling the cops. And one person said, I heard this huge commotion, and actually people were coming out in the street to watch what was going on. And they thought they were husband and wife, because it's just kind of the fight's not what you would normally have with a sibling. And she was screaming at him, accusing him of bringing disgrace on their family. I really want to know what she meant.
Yeah.
So January 1st, Lori and Charles moved to this house in Arizona, and he on the body cam footage that we will get into shortly, he confirms that they had only been living there since the 1st of January. And Lori refills JJ's medication for the last time. And then she starts sometime in January, she starts emailing Chad her dance videos. Except the moron doesn't delete the emails in the sent folder. So guess who finds them? Charles. And obviously he starts to get suspicious that she's having an affair with Chad. What kind of dance video she's sending?
Some of them like Julie Rowe.
Yeah. But you remember in the house that Charles was murdered in, there were mirrors everywhere.
Well, I think that was a requirement any house they lived in.
Yeah. So January 1st, 2019, Gibbs said this is the date Lori said that Charles and JJ would die in that car accident. She was present during a phone call with Lori and Chad when this was discussed. And Lori told Melanie Gibb that when he didn't die in the accident, that's when his spirit left his body and a dark spirit entered.
But yeah, you told them prior to this that he was already a zombie.
Right. And just to make clear, the house they moved into on January 1st, that is not the house that Charles was murdered in. Can you imagine the stress on Tylee and especially JJ with this moving back and forth? It had to, it had to take a toll on both Tylee and JJ, especially being autistic.
Yeah. Yeah. So Lieutenant Ball said in his affidavit of probable cause that Gibbs said the term zombie refers to an individual whose mortal spirit has left their body and that their body is now the host of another spirit. The new spirit in a zombie is always considered a dark spirit. While the dark spirit inhabits the host body, the person's true spirit goes into limbo and is stuck there until the host body is physically killed. As such, death of the physical body is seen as the mechanism by which the body's original spirit can be released from limbo.
Dude, your face right now.
I can't. It's some kind of game.
It sounds like a B movie, the plot of some really bad B movie, but
yeah. So January 11th, 2019, Zulema has a vision she could create storms and fire and will have the eye of the Lord. Comes that third eye. January 22nd, 2019, Lori gets an email from Chad with the subject line, demon with a name, Nick Schneider. He says Charles is a demon. Ned was the first name. Garrett was the second. Then it was Iplos. Okay, I had to laugh. I had to laugh on this because you put hippos.
I'm sorry.
That's funny. I could not share that one. That's funny. So I just went to Hungry Hungry Hippo.
You know, I did too when you said that.
Yep. So Iplos was supposed to be a combination of evil spirits. Ned was supposed to be some childhood friend of Charles's whose spirit never left the earth and attached to Charles, who pushed Charles' spirit out of his body. Melanie Gibbs says she was present when Chad told Lori this over the phone, and that was in early 2019, in reference to Charles being possessed. He wasn't possessed. He was trying to get you help.
Oh, yeah.
So Lori then told Gibb. Lori also said Chad and Lori believed they were part of the Church of the Firstborn, and their job was to rid the world of zombies. Chad emails Lori the light and dark scales for her family. The subject is family history documents. The body says, here are the family history documents you requested. What's he being so formal for?
I know, right? Yeah. Like it's a business.
Yeah, yeah. You paid for this. Here's your subscription. So Gibb told authorities that Chad was the one who came up with the whole framework for light, dark, your probations on earth, et cetera, et cetera. How the light, dark spirits work according to Gibb.
So 2.0, the number is this. Number one, we suck at math. So this is extra confusing for us. So it's going to be hopefully not too confusing for you. So if you're a level 2.0, this is your first time on earth. 3.1 is your second time on earth. And it's still not decided if that person is light or dark at that point. At level 4.1, either you make a contract with Satan or with Jesus. That's when the numbers start rising to like an 8 or 9. You could go from light to dark to light, but they said that was very hard to do. And the trust scale went from 0 to 100% of how much you could trust someone. And as far as vibrations, Chad would use the pendulum. At 1,000, you're either beginning your translation or you are translated. At first, you get higher. Well, as you get higher in your vibration, you can portal. So we have this document and we're going to read. It just essentially tells like people and how many of them there are on earth based on their numbers. So remember, number 2 is a first time on earth. Chad says most LDS members are level 2 and there are billions of males and females on earth that are level 2. Level 3, this is the second time on earth, remember. Still not sure if you're light or dark. Most bishops and ward leaders, according to Chad, are level 3. Level 4, this is where you decide. You go in with dark or light. You go in with Jesus or Satan. So it says that there are 7,000 males and 13,000. Wait, did I? 4.1. 4.1 is 70,000 and females 130,000. It says, let's see here. That's the state president and general authorities being level 4. 4.2. 7,000 males, 13,000 females, 4.3, 7,000 males, 1,300 females on earth. So the 5, it says the dark side can only match the light numbers, not exceed them. That's why there are few 5s on earth right now. It limits the dark's power. So for 5s, there were 133 males and 4 females. Then you get up to like 5.2, 5.3, and the numbers basically drop off.
Confused and those the all. Level 5 is mostly apostles.
Right. And so if you look at the 6, which I guess would be that's apostle, like your top apostle level, 5 males, 2 females. How much you won't bet he included Lori as one of those females?
Ding, 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 ding. Yeah.
All right, so the light-dark scale, this was something that when it came out initially, we were like, what in the world does this mean? So the light and dark scales essentially tells if you're good or bad. All right, so...
In their eyes.
In their eyes, right.
So if it's somebody who was opposing them, they were always dark.
Right, so why don't you start the top ones?
So Barry Cox was a three light. It was 1500 in France. Janice Cox was a three light, 1600 in England. Stacy was a three light on Earth, and she has graduated to a 4.1 light. Alex Cox was a two light. Adam Cox was a three light. That was early on, I guess, before Adam opposed them. And
yeah, I'd love to see an updated scale, like around November.
Yeah. Laura was a three light on Earth, and she's graduated to a 4.1 light. Lori was a 4.3 light. Summer Cox was a three light. Her husband was a two light, but borderline too dark. Lori's first husband was a two light. Second husband was a too dark. Son Colby was a three light. Kelsey was a three dark. And we
that's his wife.
Yeah, that's Colby's wife.
Well, you remember in that we talked about it a few episodes back, Colby said that it was kind of like a competition. You can picture it.
Yeah.
That she would not like his wife.
Exactly. Third husband, Joseph Ryan, was a 4.3 dark, and he is now sealed away. Daughter Tylee Ryan was a 4.1 dark.
Ooh, that's one of the higher ones. You know, you can tell he didn't like Tylee.
Yeah. How do you label your kid a dark?
I mean, all joking aside, you can see very, very early on that Tylee was a problem for Chad.
Yeah, exactly. So fourth husband, Charles Vallow, was a three light. His first wife was a two dark. Cole Vallow was a three dark. Zach Vallow was a three light. Joshua Vallow, which is JJ, was a 4.2 light. And we get to Melanie Bordreau, Melanie's. She was a three light. Her husband, Brandon, was a three dark. The four kids, both boys are three light. The older girl is a three light. And the younger girl is a 4.1 light.
All right. Now we need to stop and do our advertisement for the week. Fruit Loop, what you know?
Now it's time for our paid advertisement. Our partner this week is one that you guys are familiar with. As you know, I started taking AG1 because I wanted to start focusing on getting on a daily health routine that works with my busy schedule.
Tons of people take some kind of multivitamin, and it's important to choose one with high quality ingredients that your body will actually absorb.
With AG1, with one delicious scoop, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging.
Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews and is recommended by professional athletes. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop in a cup of water every day, and that's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health.
So to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/whattheworld. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/whattheworld to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
All right, back to it. So Chad just sent the light dark scales. On January 24th, Charles finds that email with the light dark scales and he forwards it to his sister Kay on March 9th. January 28th, this is when Lori transfers $10,000 out of Charles's business account. She also transfers 2,000 enterprise rental points to herself. The same day, Chad searches for Ned Schneider, 1996 death, Louisiana. Ned Schneider, Louisiana. Ned Schneider, Louisiana, born 1951, died 1996, and bodies possessed after original occupant dies. So these are around 6 months prior to Charles's murder. And also, last night, I found the divorce documents that Charles had against her. He has proof of all of the transfer of the money. It's all in there.
Yeah.
And hopefully,
well, my other question or my other thing is this. I mean, obviously Lori had to feed him those names. I would think
the Ned Schneider.
The names that was the ones that was, you know, a friend of his that passed and all that stuff.
Yeah. I'm not sure if it was actually Ned or another, but it's a good point. But you see, like, January 28th, or, you know, or what? Let's see. He emails these light dark scales around the 22nd. And here we go. By the 30th, she's convinced. And all this really begins.
Yeah.
So January 29th, I think at some point they've had some phone conversations that have been, and we don't have those that I know of. Charles files for an order of protection after Lori said she was a god and would murder him if he got in the way of her work of gathering the 144,000. The order of protection petition says that Lori had an angel who was who would dispose of his body. So January 30th, Lori transfers the $25,000 from Charles's business account, leaving Charles pretty much broke and unable to make payroll. Lori was listed as one of the owners of the business. And on that same day at 12:20 p.m., Charles texts Lori, "Did you disconnect my Find My iPhone from JJ's iPad? I got an email. Or did our little guy do that? Do it." Lori responded, "I'm just leaving the temple, so you know, I don't know how to do that." And she puts a sideways smiley. I think she did that so he couldn't find them once they leave that night and he gets home. That's my theory, is she turns off the Find My iPhone.
Sure.
So the officer asks Melanie Gibb in a 2020 interview about the box of clothes that Lori took to Goodwill, and Melanie said she thought that was out of control. And she also asked Lori if she thought this was a little extreme, and Lori said no. In a separate interview with investigators, Gibb said Lori hid one box of his clothing behind the food storage in the house. And she also said that Lori was in Charles's office in the house looking for paperwork, important documents, passports, and computers. So the investigator asked about Lori's behavior when she was telling the police officer about getting rid of his clothes. And Melanie said she remembers Lori being upbeat at the time and saying, "I'm sure you've seen the video yourself." Gibb said she can't go back and watch it because she didn't want to see herself in that video and she was tired of seeing herself on TV. That's referring to the police visit that we'll get to later.
Sure. So Gibb said Charles left his truck at the airport and Alex went and got it. He parked it at some motel in Gilbert, but Gibb didn't think Lori was staying at that hotel, but a different one. Charles, and I mean, that makes sense because if you see the truck, you know they're there. So it's probably just to throw them off. Charles is in Texas and tells Lori he's coming home that night. Investigators note there's no indication of any trouble between them prior to that. Charles tries to fly home, but finds out Lori has canceled his ticket. He spent $600 to buy a new one and flew into Arizona. He discovers his truck is missing from the parking garage at the airport. And when he goes home, the house is empty. In an interview with investigators in October of 2020, Colby said he knew about the truck being taken and Charles called him to ask if he knew where his truck was. Colby said he didn't and didn't know what was going on. Lori had told him that Charles was having an affair and was financially supporting two women in California and had also been with hookers. He said Lori was telling them that she was going to be killed for her life insurance money by family. He said he didn't buy all of it, but he didn't trust Charles with everything that was happening. Colby said the next day he took Tylee to her house in Gilbert. While there, Charles called Tylee and they began arguing. Colby got on the phone and asked what was going on. Charles told Colby that Lori thought she was a god, and Colby said he tried to be the mediator between them.
Yeah, he said his mom was calm and didn't want a confrontation with Charles, and he was more on his mom's side, thinking Charles had done something wrong because Lori seemingly just wanted to get away from Charles. So January 30th at 4:06 p.m., Lori texts her mom, her sister, Melanie, and Alex. She says, "Please don't answer the phone if Charles calls you. We're in a big argument and he's looking for people to be on his side. Thank you. I love you all." And in an interview with investigators, Colby said Lori told him Charles was having the affair. And I'm sorry, I repeated that. But Charles texts Lori at 4:14 p.m. I'll come home tomorrow. I'll get JJ as you asked and go to Louisiana. I don't want you to destroy me as you said. So Lori tells Charles over the phone that she's a god. She was assigned to carry out the work of the 144,000 at Christ's second coming. Then at 4:33, Charles makes a call to the Gilbert Police Department from Texas saying Lori was acting strange and making threats. And he said Lori told him, and it's he gets the name mixed up, Ed Schneider, and she was going to destroy him. So Gilbert PD instructed Charles to follow up with Community Bridges when he got back from Texas, and that is a mental health place. They can do involuntary holds. So at 4:38, Charles texts Lori, please call me, and Lori responds, too late for words, I'm done. Between 6 and 10, Charles is flying from Dallas to Phoenix. At the same time, at 6 o'clock, Lori's iCloud showed deleted cookies for Hyatt Hotels, and her coordinates show she was at the Four Points Sheraton in Mesa.
So at 8:12 p.m., Chad conducts a Google search, Ned Snyder, Louisiana obituary. This is the first search for Ned Snyder.
Now, that gets confusing because he did it before, but there, I think there was some confusion between, you know, what, yeah. So we think he searched for Ned Snyder earlier in January.
Yeah. So I think it's important to note that Gibb, when she asked Lori if she was being a little extreme, Lori replied, it's God's will.
Yeah. And I think, you know, like we said, Melanie and Gibb and Zulema both have minimized what they thought and what they felt. We're going to stop here because the next episode next week, we start getting into all this body cam footage, and it's going to make you guys all kinds of mad. It is just, eerie in hindsight to watch. I mean, he told them exactly what was up. And but you know, yeah, it's just, and then you think about her doing that first strike of emailing her family and saying, we're in a fight, don't talk to him. She was telling them that he had been having affairs and all this stuff. And so you see now she's hook, line, and sinker that Charles isn't Charles. And then this really is like the first domino in the effect of what got us to where we are today. Crazy stuff, y'all.
I would be interesting to know if Charles was the first one that Chad told her was a zombie.
I think out of everybody she knew, it seems that way. Unless, like, we get stuff from Rexburg that we haven't seen at trial. This yeah. is really kind of the, but you remember it's back in late December, early January.
Well,
Chad's already told Lori he's not Charles because yeah. Melanie Gibb heard that conversation. Now we have a name.
Yeah. Well, think about it. Joe Ryan died, what, 2018?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Telling you, man, I know they say it was natural. You'll never convince me. There's too many discrepancies, and you have Lori admitting she went in there after he was dead with Tylee, I might add.
And remember, we discussed this. Annie got to see photo albums that she said reeked.
Of death.
Yes.
Yeah, that's just it.
So how do you get that?
Yeah, but it's, you know, poor Charles. He really had no idea that him coming home this night on the 30th really was the beginning of his end.
Yeah, exactly.
And these officers just blew him off. And then with Lori, they just kind of babied her, giggled with her.
She played the game.
She did. And that, you know, you put all that together, and that lets you know she's not crazy. She's not crazy to be able to formulate the story of JJ being, you know, with Kay to Melanie Gibb. Oh, he's with Melanie Gibb to authorities. All these explanations. Tylee's at BYU with her friends. She ain't crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, it starts really rolling from here, guys. We're still finding things to add in. And but anyways, hope you guys have an amazing weekend. Just planning on taking it easy, and we will see you back here on Monday.
Hey, I forgot.
Go ahead.
No, I forgot to say I'm waiting on my Yankee blanket.
Oh, nice.
Two cool t-shirts is doing my Yankee blanket, so I can't wait to see it.
That's awesome. Yeah, you'll love it. Okay, yep. We out.